Our first scripture lesson today comes from Micah chapter 6. Listen for God's word. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God.
Our second lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter. Let us listen again for God's word. Now, as soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place. And there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Hi, neighbor.
Hi, neighbor. What a year it has been in the neighborhood.
You can say that again.
What a year it has been in the neighborhood.
For those of you who are newer to our church, today is annual meeting Sunday, which means that under normal circumstances, we would have a big potluck luncheon after the worship service and then gather for our annual meeting, where we would celebrate all the ministry that we have done together over the past year. Last year, at this time, we were gathering for two in-person worship services with Sunday school in between for all ages. Meanwhile, the smells of casseroles were wafting throughout the church building from the kitchen. The fellowship hall was set up with all kinds of round tables and tablecloths and a long line of rectangular tables down the middle of the room, just waiting to be filled up with those casseroles and salads and desserts. Our newly installed giant flat-screen TV was displaying a year's worth of pictures of the many ways that we had been doing ministry. Looking back from today, it's amazing to think that we were together in person last year, all while a little known and understood virus was spreading around the globe and our country and would eventually, within about a month's time, shut down our normal way of life and ministry together.
A year ago in January, I still remember Tammy donning her red cardigan sweater to invite us into the theme for 2020, Neighbors Together, Life in the Neighborhood. What I imagined us doing with that theme here today, together, on mission trips and local work, all went away as soon as we realized how dangerous COVID-19 really was. By mid-March of last year, we had to pivot everything to being online. We had to change the way we distribute food at the pantry. We had to limit access to our building. We had to find alternative ways to feed the hungry at Jan Peak and Salvation Army. We had to be generous with our offerings in different ways. We had to worship differently. Our normal life and our normal ministry came to an abrupt halt.
But even though it seemed like everything had changed, our basic identity and mission as a church didn't change at all. We were still beloved children of God and disciples of Jesus Christ, called to be neighbors to one another and to the world around us, called to build God's neighborhood right here in our community.
So even though it felt like so much had changed, we didn't stop worshiping. We didn't stop feeding the poor. We didn't stop helping people with car repairs and mortgage payments. We didn't stop praying for one another. We didn't stop meeting for Bible study and meals together. We found new ways to do all of this. Some of it online, some of it electronically, some of it over the phone, and some of it standing 6 feet apart. Granted, it certainly hasn't been the same way that we've been together before. Moving online hasn't always been easy or smooth, and it hasn't come without some growing pains and a reevaluation. But we've learned that we are now including more people in our ministry because we embraced the change, we experimented, and we remembered our mission to connect with God, one another, and the world. We've learned how to be neighbors together in new ways in the midst of a pandemic. We may not be able to control the pandemic, but we've done what we do well. We've adapted and thrived and served in the midst of an uncertain and chaotic time.
This may sound kind of funny, but I think the pandemic has been for us what Jesus' appearance was in our second scripture lesson today, a major disruption. Do you remember a few weeks ago at the beginning of January when Jesus showed up out in the wilderness where John the Baptist was proclaiming his fiery message of repentance? Jesus asked to be baptized by John. And when Jesus came up out of the baptismal waters of the Jordan River, the heavens tore apart and the Spirit of God descended, really torpedoed down into Jesus, claiming him as God's beloved Son and empowering him to bring God's kingdom down to earth in ways that people had never seen or heard of before. Then, after his baptism, the Spirit drove Jesus even further out into the wilderness for a time of testing and preparation for his ministry. After 40 days, Jesus reemerged, ready to get to work. He immediately called some disciples to follow him and went right to the synagogue in Capernaum to start preaching and teaching. In last week's passage, the crowds at the synagogue were amazed by his teaching, and then Jesus even cast out a demon. "What is this?" the crowd exclaimed. "A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." With his words and his actions, Jesus disrupted the life and faith as the people thought they knew it. Not wasting any time, however, Jesus immediately leaves the synagogue and goes with his disciples to Simon Peter's house, probably to get something to eat. Unfortunately, Simon's mother-in-law was sick with a fever, which was a serious condition back in that time before fever reducers and antibiotics. It was no big deal for Jesus, however. He went right into her room, took the sick woman's hand, and lifted her up. The fever left her, and immediately she got up and started getting lunch ready for the hungry crew. I love the movement in this story. Jesus enters the room, takes her hand, and lifts her up. In Jesus' hands, she is healed and rejuvenated for a life of service. Jesus' very presence transforms sickness into service.
In much the same way, Christ's presence in our midst over this past year has transformed a pandemic into all sorts of new possibilities for us to be church. We've figured out how to do worship and faith formation, as well as most of our planning and our organizational meetings over Zoom and from our homes. granted communion on the couch with mango juice and a donut or coffee and animal crackers might be pushing the sacramental envelope a bit. But how wonderful to realize that God's love and grace isn't limited to our usual categories of time and space or grape juice and bread.
We figured out how to stay connected to one another through phone calls and porch visits, and to share our lives with each other through our daily devotions, like checking our pulse last spring, or the daily gift last fall, or bringing Jesus home for Christmas. The pandemic has continued to expose the growing mental health needs in our community and our world, and has given further impetus to our mental health and wellness ministry to find more intentional ways to lift up and address these growing needs.
We've figured out how to confirm and receive new members, ordain and install new leaders, create musical masterpieces, and hold a congregational meeting in new ways. We've adjusted and adapted to delivering prayer shawls, handing out winter coats and school supplies, and feeding hungry people safely, respectfully, and compassionately.
The list could go on and on, but it was all made possible through God's love, Christ's presence, and the Spirit's creativity and power in our midst. And for that, we are so very grateful, both to God and to all of you, for adapting to these disruptions and traveling this topsy-turvy road with us together.
Your flexibility and openness to experimentation and change was confirmed in the results of the congregational assessment tool that we took last fall. The CAT is a benchmarked assessment tool which has been used by over 3,000 other churches of different shapes, sizes, and denominations. The CAT is designed to help churches better understand who they are so that they can make better decisions in less time with more confidence. Our CAT scan revealed that unlike 80% of the other churches, we are a transformational magi congregation. We are poised for growth and increasing our community impact. Just like the magi, who saw the star, left the past behind, and followed God's light to Bethlehem, so we have the potential, the people, and the resources necessary to follow the Spirit's guiding light into whatever the future holds for us, and keep living our ministry and mission to be good neighbors and to make God's neighborhood come to life here and now.
As Michelle Snyder, our CAT consultant, said numerous times, our congregation has been and continues to be blessed with so many strengths that it was hard to find some of our weaknesses or our growing edges. However, one area that we did not score so well on in the assessment was spiritual vitality, or the ability to connect our personal faith and our spiritual life as a faith community with the choices we make and the actions we take in the concrete details of our daily life, not just here at church, but at home or at work, at school, or wherever else life takes us. Now, this didn't come as a huge surprise to us because we are a congregation full of doers, people who are ready and willing to roll up their sleeves and get to work, and who feel better when we can do something about the problems that we see in the world around us. Sometimes, however, all that we are doing can lead us to burn out or forget the reasons why we are doing what we are doing in the first place. We lose our identity as God's beloved children who created us and who loves us just the way we are. As Mr. Rogers would say, there's no one else in the world just like you. You are special just the way you are. And I like you, and God loves you. We forget that it is God's unconditional love and extravagant grace that heals us, redeems us, and makes us whole, giving us new life and the Spirit's power to share this good news with others. Maybe the CAT is reminding us that in the midst of all of our doing, it's important to slow down, to replenish and refuel and reconnect with the source of our faith and life together.
I think that's important to hear. Maybe the CAT is reminding us that in the midst of all we are doing, it's important to slow down and take a deep breath, to remember who we are and whose we are. I know that personally, after the past year, Tammy and I are pretty tired, and I would imagine that you are too. So starting next Sunday and continuing through the season of Lent, we are going on a spiritual pilgrimage together, a journey within. Did you notice in our scripture lesson today that in the midst of all of his preaching and teaching, his healing and casting out of demons, Jesus himself went out to a desert, a wilderness place, away from the hustle and bustle and all the demands of daily life, so that he could pray, so that he could reconnect with the source of his identity and his purpose. That's the journey we want to invite you to take with us this winter and spring, to become pilgrims who explore the soul of who we are, so that we are strengthened for the path we will walk together. How does our soul need to be nurtured, cared for, loved, and reminded of who we are as children of God, so that what we do expresses who we are? Personally, I hope that you will take this journey with me and with us, that you will share in this sabbatical opportunity with me, not just as a time off from me, but as an opportunity for us to grow in faith together.
If 2020 has taught us anything, it's that no matter how well we plan and budget for the future, life has a way of disrupting even our best intentions and designs for our lives and our church. Sometimes we are even surprised by unexpected opportunities to follow Christ's light in brand new directions, to be neighbors and to build God's neighborhood in ways we never imagined. If we listen to our scripture lessons today, we realize that that's what Jesus came here to do.
But even in the unexpected disruptions of life, and especially as we journey together in 2021, God calls us to trust in God's greater wisdom and purposes. Christ calls us to follow where he leads. And the Spirit calls us to share all of who we are and the many blessings God has given us, so that as individuals and as a church, we may proclaim the good news of God's healing, saving, liberating love and grace, God's justice and peace, for that is what we are here to do. Amen.